Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who hope you'll tell all your friends about this podcast.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird.
Jonah, I had a little bit of a different adjective.
Yeah, I changed it. Vanessa, you probably didn't get that reference, but I think a lot of our listeners will.
Yeah, but maybe I should tell our listeners what I had in there.
What did you have in there?
Who love the weekend, including Sundays.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Okay, thank you.
It's good, too.
Well, just to get started, I wanted to say, Jonah, really missed you. I got to finally meet our long-lost cousin, former host of Headbangers Ball, Ricky Rackman, and he was doing a one-man show. He was touring with it, and his last date was in LA, and I went with my friend Rachel. We really had a blast, and I think you would have absolutely loved the show so much, and that was the thing that was, like, so sad, was that you weren't there, because obviously you don't live in LA, and it would have been hard for you to make it, but
right.
The thing that I also would think you would have really appreciated is I kept trying to figure out who in the audience, because it was in LA and that's where Ricky had his famous club, the Cat House and everything. I was trying to figure out who in the audience was like someone that you would know from a band or something. The guy sitting next to us who actually offered us fries that he wasn't going to eat and we ate them, which is probably a cool thing to do. But he pointed out to us Gilby Clark from Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, yeah.
So he was in the audience. And then Ricky kept talking to different people in the audience that he knew from opening the Cat House and stuff. But he had so many crazy stories. Axl Rose at one point asked him if he could have this guy open for his show or work at his club. And it was like this little skinny guy, and he worked there for a couple weeks, and he was like, can my band Brown Cow play here? And Ricky was like, no, your band Brown Cow absolutely cannot play here. And then, like, I guess a couple weeks later, the guy was like, actually, a record label is coming, wants to see our show, can we play here? And he was like, actually, we changed the name of the band to Blind Melon. And it was Shannon Hoon.
Wow.
And then there's footage of Ricky, like, once he was in his Headbangers Ball days, like, interviewing him and Shannon Hoon being like, if you want to make it in Hollywood, like, just go work for Ricky, like, be his receptionist. It's really easy. Like, no one wants to call him anyway. Like, it's great.
That's so funny. So, yeah. So just to clarify, did you get French fries from Gilby Clark or just a guy who pointed out?
A guy who pointed out who Gilby Clark was.
Got it.
I will say, like, if you ever have the chance to see our cousin Ricky Rackman, he has a million stories like that. His life is exactly the life that Jonah would have wanted when he was 13, which is why Jonah wanted to invite him to his bar mitzvah when he was 13. But again, not to fault our dad, but he didn't think he would come. Although I think dad was probably right. I mean, you know, it would have been nice to have invited him, I bet, Jonah, but it would have been.
Yeah, he wouldn't have come. He wouldn't have come. All right. So, so everyone check out Ricky Rackman's show, One Foot in the Gutter.
It's amazing.
Thank you. And speaking of amazing, oh my gosh, we have such an exciting guest today. Singer, songwriter, musician, someone we've known for a long time. Frontman for Taking Back Sunday. Let's please welcome Adam Lazara. Adam, how's it going?
Woo! I made it. Hi. Thank you guys for having me. Wait, yes. Just real quick, before we go any further, I have some questions. Can I ask some questions?
Please.
Of course.
I can't tell if Ricky Rackman is like really your cousin, or if you if you guys are on like we're just going to tell people he's our cousin and you're so dedicated that it's just now like normal, like, or is that a real thing?
I'd say it's a little bit of both. What did you say?
It's real. So it's kind of
rolled your eyes at the same time.
It's a non-blood relationship through marriage. So non-blood, but there is a distant relationship through marriage.
And by the way, it's not that distant, my hilarious joke that it's a little bit of both, which is, it's basically Ricky Rackman's great uncle and our great aunt were married.
Okay.
When they were alive. So like our dad has the same first cousins as Ricky Rackman.
Crazy.
So our dad's cousins, Nina and Eric, are Ricky's cousins, first cousins, Nina and Eric.
Right.
So
that's it.
It's pretty close actually, but it is by marriage. It's like we weren't related to our great uncle whose sister was Ricky Rackman's grandmother.
Right.
By blood, but we were related by
marriage.
Family tree. Yes.
So by law.
Yeah.
Law and tree. So by nature, in a way.
Adam, do you have this thing? I have this thing when people start talking about family trees. It's one of those things where I just completely zone out and I'm just like, I'm not going to. As soon as they're like, it's not my brother or sister or mom, I'm just like, too complicated. Do you have that at all?
Boom, I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, it's like funny because like my wife has a really big family. And then we were just visiting them. And then my son Keaton was like, okay, so what is my relation to like those 14 people over there? And I'm just like, they're your cousins. And then, cause that's the easy, like, I don't know. Yeah. Cause also he wasn't like, we weren't in a place to where he wanted to like sit down and really figure it out. He just wanted a quick answer. And that was the easiest one.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Of course.
And Adam, I actually met your dad once a very long time ago on the Warp Tour.
Oh, yeah, he's always the mayor whenever he comes to a show. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that about our dad, too.
He
kind of takes charge.
Yes.
Yeah. For like a long time. See, because I moved from North Carolina to New York to join the band. And then there was a good period of time to where he did not think that was a very good life decision. And then there were points to where I, you know, agreed with him, but didn't want to let him know. And then like things like started to work out. And then I think that it was more than this thing of like, the thing that my son is trying to do is working out. I like think he was proud of that, but it was also kind of like, we went through this thing together. Like I don't want to say like, I don't use the word trauma or anything. Cause it wasn't like that, but we were like, there was just cause there was so much back and forth with us. And like, we've always been close, you know? So I feel like when it did start to work, it was a combination of like a father's pride, you know, which is amazing. And then also like, oh, I can't believe we did this, you know? Like,
yeah. Kind of I saw somewhere that you, when you left North Carolina, when you first moved, you worked at a deli for a little bit. Is that true? Because our dad loves delis. So it's like, I could see if your dad's anything like our dad, it would be like, he's missing you. He's not really sure, you know, if you made the right decision or not. It's really, you know, kind of a big move, but he knows that when he comes to visit you, he's got probably endless access to, pastrami, turkey, corned beef. Like, what was, how was that? And I want, and yes.
Well, when I was, because I was living on Long Island, and then he only, like, at that time, he was, there was one big trip that he made up there. And, like, I don't think he was as impressed with the delis as, know what I remember from that trip? Is I remember driving all around like Baldwin and Rockville Center, because like John lived in Baldwin, the guitar player in Taking Back Sunday, and then our drummer Mark lived in Rockville Center, and then we lived in Massapequa. Anyways, so like driving all around these towns, because he was like, "There's, I'm not paying $1.79 for gas. That's ridiculous." And then, so we went to every gas station. And we're like, "Dad, that's just the price." But then you look now and you're like, "Oh my God, it's crazy. More than double that." Yeah.
I'm wondering, Adam, if maybe you and Vanessa are related, because it seems like we have a lot of similarities between our dads.
Dad would do that too. That was a big, it's still a big move of his, is like, "Oh, we're not going to get gas there." And you're like, "Well, why not? It's right here." And he's like, "Oh, it's too expensive." Do you know, is your dad, I just want to revisit this really quickly. Oh, go ahead, Jonah.
Well, I was curious because, Adam, you know, we talked about this a lot. I think when I did the liner notes for the album 20, Your Greatest Hits.
Mm-hmm.
And you had said something to me like you had moved from North Carolina to Long Island and sort of kind of just left, like didn't really pack up the house or anything. So you did, this was, you know, what was that sort of like?
I still apologize to him about that. To this day. And so like every now and again, I'll be like, "Hey dad, remember that time?" And he'll be like, "Yeah, you don't have to still say it." I'm like, "No, but I am. I'm sorry." Well, cause what happened, like I was living, we lived in this house and it was right by UNCG, the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. And there was like five or six guys that lived there, and I was sharing one of the rooms. So thankfully just all my stuff was in one little area, but it's, yeah, like I went there and then just like, cause I'd gone to try out and then I got a call back from them and they're like, "You should come back, rehearse. We got these shows coming up." So I went back up and I just never went home, which left him in this really terrible position of having to like go and pack all that stuff up for me, which still feel really bad about that.
Yeah. That's nice. But probably looking back on it, I would imagine if it's any consolation, you probably didn't have that much stuff.
I didn't. I had like a futon and like one of those dorm refrigerators.
Yeah.
And like some books maybe like a guitar.
If it makes you feel any better, our parents, while we were in college, moved from our childhood home into a condo and they took they packed all of our stuff and put it in their basement and we still haven't gone through it.
and we never
apologize for it.
Not only never apologize, every year they say, "You know, you got like, Joni, you have 3,000 CDs and you know, you have all this stuff in the basement." And I'm like, "Yep, I'm definitely going to go through it, organize it." And it's just like a stalling tactic.
And it's
been going for like 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And it's in these boxes that they had to pack it all up. And we were just like, "I got to go study for chem or lab or whatever."
See you, peace. I like that because it's one of those things of like, "Oh, yeah, I'm totally going to look. Oh, would you look at that? Gotta go. See you later."
Yeah. Or I'll pull out like two kind of books that look interesting. I'm like, "Okay, I'll take these."
I just took back my original copy of Angelina Ballerina from our babysitter, Martha, who had signed the front. And like, I was like, "See you later. I'm just going to take this." The rest of the garage is just, I mean, the basement is just filled with my stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I want to hear, just before we move on from the deli completely, what kind of deli are we talking? Did they have, you know, are people mostly going in there ordering sandwiches? Are they ordering, you know, just meats to go? Is there a dessert selection? And what's kind of the dessert that's, like, I know at there's this place, Davis Bakery, near where we grew up, and the big hit of that place sort of is the coconut bars. It's like, which are sort of like almost like a coconut cake with like a coconut cake, but not super sweet, but they're delicious. Anyway, I would like to know sort of what this deli specialized in.
Well, so it was called Pete's Deli and it was in Farmingdale, New York. And there was Eddie, our guitar player, he had worked there for a long time. And then so he got the job for me there. You know, I was moving from North Carolina, and like, we don't have, like, there's delis now, but where I grew up, like, I had never seen anything like it. Like, the closest thing I'd ever seen was like a Subway, you know, like,
yeah.
Foot long.
I sure. think and there's then, a Jewish influence that really makes the deli. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So, okay. So they had things like, it's kind of like when I was there, I just did deliveries and I would like stock the soda coolers. That was my two big responsibilities. But then I remember, or like, cause you mentioned the desserts, you know, I'm like pointing at stuff like, okay, well, what's that? And they're like, it's a black and white cookie. And I'm like, well, I could see it's black and white, but like, what is it? So like that thing to where they were also like brutal, like they flirted by like pulling your hair, you know? So the more they made fun of you, I guess it meant the more they liked you. That's what Eddie told me. I still don't believe it, but so like my accent was way thicker. I stuttered like crazy. And then, so at a certain point, I just had to stop asking about things. Cause I'm like, I could either ask what this strange thing is and then get made fun of for the next 3 weeks about it, or I can just, you know, not say anything and wait until somebody just talks about it to somebody else nicely.
Right. But were you taking stuff home and eating it for dinner or lunch, or mostly just delivering it?
I was mostly just delivering it, though I did, like, I think I gained like 15 pounds when I worked there, because they'd be like, yeah, you can have whatever. And then up until then, we were living off like Taco Bell packets and ramen noodles. And then so, or like the hot sauce packets.
Yep.
So like every time you worked, you know, they'd give you, that was another thing that blew my mind. Cause every sandwich was like, I mean, you know, like here's a normal sandwich and then like here's like a New York deli.
That's a good deli. Is they're going to give you a sky high stack. Now, I'm almost ready to move on.
Okay.
But I would like for you each to tell me, if you went into that deli or any deli today, like a Jewish deli, what would your order be? What's your ideal order for like a to-go kind of a deli?
Ooh. Do they do breakfast all day?
Yeah.
But this is feeling like you could get it anywhere.
Oh, say it like you're no. the deli.
No. You can do breakfast if you want. That's cool. I don't care.
There was this one deli in Long Beach, New York, because I lived there briefly, and they were open 24 hours. So it was fantastic for that period of time in my life, because I was up in those hours. And they had this thing that was like what felt like 27 pounds of turkey and then lettuce, tomato. And it was on one of those rolls with, it's almost like an everything bagel, but it's not a bagel. It's a roll.
Yes.
And Thousand Island dressing, which
I was going to say, there's got to be Thousand Island on there.
Yeah. But they called it Russian dressing, which I don't know if that's like, is that okay?
This is controversial. No, not because of what it's called, but because I always think of, I guess it's also called Russian dressing. I think you can call it Russian dressing. So. I think there's a thing.
Yeah.
I think Thousand Island is better, because if you're in your mind, you know, like you're picturing it, and then someone says, okay, 1,000 islands. And you're like, oh, this is beautiful. That's the first thing that pops up in your head.
Yeah.
And then somebody says, okay, Russian dressing. And then it just doesn't have the same kind of ring to it. And I also think that's because we grew up with like every action movie, the bad guy was Russian or Eastern European.
Yeah.
Sure. Adam, you make so many good points here. And I think you're so right about Thousand Island, because it sounds like you're on vacation. You're in the Caribbean versus like ranch. You're like, oh, I'm at the ranch.
Yeah. Yellowstone's real popular though.
Yellowstone's nice. There are nice ranches, but it doesn't have the same kind of flair.
I think of like the Florida Keys. I've only been there once, but it was a real fun trip. But they're like, because when you drive in, there's like that one road, you know, and then you're going over all those little keys. So when I hear Thousand Island, that's what I picture. That and the sandwich. Yeah.
I think that's a good pick. Now, Jonah, what would be your pick from a deli?
Yeah, I was going to go just straight up corned beef on rye, but now I'm kind of thinking a Reuben. I'm thinking like a corned beef Reuben. That sounded pretty good to me right about now.
And what's in a Reuben? What's the diff? It has turkey in it too or something?
You
and
can
it
do
has
turkey
Thousand
or
Island?
Corned beef. I think it's Thousand Island, and then I think maybe has sauerkraut or something on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
So that's a pretty solid sandwich. Vanessa, what about you?
Well, you know,
I feel like you'd really just ask this so you could share yours. Yeah. So let's just hear it.
I love a turkey sandwich. Okay. I didn't eat meat other than seafood and fish. I stopped eating it from when I was when I was at overnight camp, from when I was like 12 or 13 to when I was like 30, 32. So there was like 20 years of my life and now whenever I get the chance, I'll eat a turkey sandwich because I think they're so delicious. But because it's more nostalgic to me and it's more like what I ate growing up, if they've got a good tuna salad on rye,
sure.
Throw in some lettuce, throw in some tomato, even though it can give me acid reflux. Throw in, you know, some mustard. I'm going, that's right. And I don't mind, you know what else I'm doing, which you both left out because, no offense, you're not thinking. I'd also have a black and white cookie, or I'd maybe have a coconut bar if they had them, or I'd maybe have, if I could just take anything, I would like probably say one of each of the desserts.
Mm. I didn't know that was an option. Also, I didn't know what you said lunch. I don't know what I had planned for the rest of that day. You know, I don't want to eat anything too heavy and get a dessert and then not be able to rise to the challenge of whatever's happening after lunch. Now, dinner, that's a different thing. But who goes to a deli for dinner? Did your dad go to a deli for dinner?
We would go to like dine-in sort of, not as much, but I just think if you're given this opportunity that you can get whatever you want from the deli, it's sort of like you have to prioritize that over dinner, if that makes sense.
True. Yeah. No, you're right. This deli had baklava too, which was awesome. I had never had it before. I'm like, what is this? So I'd get one of those. Is it too late to revise my answer?
No, you can add it.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and add that to my order then.
Okay.
Joan, is there anything you'd like to add to your order? Before I hit send on this DoorDash.
I just had this weird flashback to like the first time in my life I ever had guacamole at this guy's house in Cleveland, and like the new Shai Hulud album had come out, and it was like, everyone's going to come over and listen to this first Shai Hulud record. And he's like, I have chips with this like green stuff. And I'm like, what is this? Like, it's made out of avocados. It was like, I was probably like 16. Kids now probably have guacamole,
Jonah,
when they're
we
like
did
five.
Not eat it growing up. We
no,
did
we never
not
had
know
it
what
growing
it
up. I was so confused.
I remember going to someone's house in Chicago. So I've graduated college. So I'm going to say by this point, I've got to be, I don't know, like
37.
20. Yeah, 37. But it was so I've graduated college. I'm living in Chicago. I go to someone's house. They have made guacamole. Even if I've seen guacamole before, I've never seen it homemade. I take the pit. It had like pits in it. Like they had mixed. And I take the pit and put it on my plate because I'm like, what's this thing? And then I tried to eat it because, again, I've never eaten guacamole before. It sounds like I've never seen an avocado before. And I'm like trying to put my fork in it and stuff. And it's like, and I'm like, oh, this is the middle of the avocado. I'm an idiot. And then I had to kind of like walk around being like, ha ha ha, carrying the pit, blah, blah, blah. And then like trying to throw it out without anyone seeing me. But it was truly like, that and burrata are the two things we never had growing up. But burrata seems to make a lot more sense because it's like kind of sophisticated. Guacamole, just never saw it at all until I was in my 20s.
Adam, what's your first kind of guacamole experience? You remember?
I don't remember what my first experience with it was, but I remember it was like real similar. Like I was like, what is this? And yeah, because we didn't, like I think in the town where I grew up in High Point, there were like a couple like really cool Mexican restaurants, but I don't even remember that being on the menu.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe I just wasn't looking close enough. I mean, I don't know.
Probably we weren't looking because they had it like on the 7-layer burrito, even at Taco Bell, but I don't know if that was actually what that was made with. It's probably very different.
Also mixed in like that, you might have just thought it was like some avocado. Like you might not have known it was guacamole.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like or like some kind of like sauce that they make, you know, like that's probably what it's like. Oh, the sauce is pretty thick and delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably was some kind of sauce, okay, if it's it.
Adam, have you done any interviews where people have asked you this much about formative food experiences?
No, and that's why I'm loving it. Huh?
Okay.
No.
Whoa,
thank you.
What a good. Well, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, we're going to go to a commercial break and we'll be right back. And we would love if McDonald's wants to sponsor us, and then I can sing that all the time. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So, Adam, before we get into today's topic, I saw, speaking of nostalgia, I was doing some research, and it looks like Taking Back Sunday just played a show in Long Island in someone's backyard. Is that true?
Yes.
Whoa.
We were filming a video, and then like a bunch of people, I don't know where to start the story. Okay, here's how it starts. It was a dark and stormy night. No, so for like a long time, we would always kind of be asking each other, like, man, I wonder if there's like a scene like there was for us, you know, like on Long Island still. And then for years there, as far as we could tell, there wasn't. And then very recently, our buddy Mike Dubin, he just started to kind of get back more involved in like the shows and with the younger bands and stuff. So it was kind of one of these things when we were looking to do the video, like at a house or in a basement or something, we had reached out to Dubin, and then he's like, oh my God, this is perfect. Cause like a lot of these guys and gals that are in the bands, they are always asking me stories about this, like back when you guys were playing houses in the smaller places and all that. And they're like, we could get them to come and then it'll probably be crazy. So we like filmed like the video stuff, and then we just played a bunch of songs, and it was like, I'm like, I'm invincible, I'm never gonna die, ah, you know, like one of those things. Like, and it's not so much, yes, like I feel like a lot of it was just like that nostalgic thing, because we hadn't played a show like that and I can't even tell you how long.
Sure.
And it, but also there's something about the exchange of energy there, because you're just in somebody's backyard, you know, it's just like we're on a deck, and a beautiful deck. There's something about like that exchange that does something to me that I have a hard time describing, but it's like real magic, like actual, like I want magic to be real so badly, like Harry Potter and shit. And it, but like, this is,
oh, I know,
like next level, like this is the closest I think that it exists, is in moments like that, because it, because there's real power there, you know, you can feel it.
That's so,
yes,
great.
For sure.
So to answer your question, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Vanessa, you know Mike Dubin. He sat behind us at that Taylor Swift concert with his daughter.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Now I have one more question about the backyard show.
Okay.
Did anyone, it sounds like it was incredible and really fun, but did anyone like do or ask you anything weird? I know that's a weird question, but I feel like sometimes that the part of the thing that's kind of nostalgic and fun about those things is there's always like some weirdos walking around that are like, hey, if you want, I can sell you a guitar or something.
Yeah.
Did anyone try to sell you a guitar? Yeah.
It's like, hey, want to see my pet iguana? It's just next door. Like, yeah. Like some, there's nothing that sticks out that was too weird.
Okay.
I really think there was a good number of people there that like were just so, like everybody was just so pumped to be there, you know? So
yeah, yeah.
A lot of love and like just this excitement kind of already there, you know?
Yeah.
And then so I like feel that because there was so much of that throughout the community that was there, that it kind of helped to quell any of the people who might have asked something.
Potential, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Adam, I have one more question. You know, there's like obviously a lot of sort of this nostalgia, speaking of nostalgia, we're getting the topic about emo mm-hmm. and this kind of stuff. And like, you know, obviously me and you were kind of there in the early 2000s. And you always kind of struck me as someone who at least in the past was a little like resistant to the whole like wave of nostalgia around that sort of scene. And I'm curious like where you kind of land on that now, because it's become such a big thing. I know you played Where We're Young and all this kind of stuff. So how do you sort of look back on that, I guess, now, that kind of nostalgic feeling?
Well, I think it's good and bad. I think it's dangerous.
Okay.
My worry with it for myself and then also for our band too, is that there, like, I don't want to be the guy that was, because I'm the guy that is. And like, I don't want to be in the band that was, because we haven't ever stopped, you know, and however people respond to it or like do or don't, like, that's not our department, you know? And like, I just want to make sure that we're always like trying to be better people and like be better players and like this whole thing, you know, like, and I just worry that if you spend too much time within that nostalgia and like kind of the blast radius that it can create, then like you just run the risk of it sweeping you up. And then the next thing you know, you're just like, that's all you are. And I don't know if it's arrogant. I mean, like, there's like a lot of people that are like, yo, you are an asshole. Cause like, what, like, why are you talking shit about like emo, whatever? And I'm like, I never considered us that. And I know like there's a big part of that nostalgia that like, that speaks so loudly to me, but then also in relation to our band, that also like our band speaks a lot of that nostalgia to like a lot of people. And I love that we were able to like have a place in their story. That's real important to me. But also, I'm not that same person. None of us are. And right. And then the person that's listening also isn't that same person. And I've always seen it as, like, well, like maybe there's something in it for you still checking out the like something that's more recent, because we've been growing up together this whole time. It's like listening to Tom Petty and only listen to a Full Moon Fever. Like there was like you can like point out like these different milestones in his life. And then like for me personally, like as I've grown and gotten older, like there's like he has a song for. Well, for me, like, it's like, oh, he was going through the same thing I was. It's just, I hadn't caught up yet kind of thing. Anyways, that was a really long-winded answer. I don't even know if that makes sense.
No, I think that's a really nuanced and, you know, intelligent answer.
Our new record, 152, the thing I'm really proud of that we've been able to do is that we've been able to just give a real clear snapshot, I think, of the people we were at the time whenever these releases came out, you know, like our first record, that's who we were then, you know, like, and it's like all there, they're like little yearbooks, you know, as is this one. And I'm just so proud of it that I guess had we like fully embraced this nostalgia emo thing, then we wouldn't have ever gotten to the point to where we were able to make the record we just made.
Yeah.
And sure, that wouldn't have felt very good, because who wants to do the exact same thing over again when it's some kind of creative and Dever, you both know that that doesn't feel good. So,
yes.
Totally.
So, too. Very exciting. So, Adam, and speaking of the band, you guys have a t-shirt and it's, You guys all in Little League outfits. Jillian Senesis, your manager.
Your Little League playing cards.
Your Little League playing cards. But you, Adam, are sporting a mini golf ensemble.
Yeah.
Were you a big mini golfer growing up? Let's get into this topic because I think it ties right into the band stuff in this sort of way.
Oh, I did. Yes. I did the whole circuit. What happened with that shirt was all those guys knew right where those cards were. I only played baseball for like one season when I was a kid. And then come to find out like 5 years ago, my whole family, like they love baseball, but somehow I just was oblivious to that and had no idea up until recently. So all that to say, my parents were disappointed I didn't continue playing baseball. But so they were like, I looked at my mom's house, I looked at my dad's house, I looked through all of our stuff, and I couldn't find, because I know I have like one baseball picture that they then could have made look like those cards. And
But
okay. I couldn't find it. And then we had a deadline, and I was like, well, here's a picture for me at putt-putt golfing games when I was around the same age, I guess. Could we use that? And then they did, which then makes the shirt so much more funny for me. So it makes me like it more, because it's like, well, why isn't... So anyways, that's... But that was taken at like probably like my 9th or 10th birthday. And as you could tell, Crisscross, I think, was probably real big at the time. Maybe 8th or 9th. I don't remember the exact year. But
are you wearing your pants?
I'm not wearing them backwards because, man, my parents would have never let that fly. But I do have the one strap off, which was a big no-no. Like, it was kind of like this thing.
Yes.
Like, I wanted to wear JNCOs in high school because like all the cool kids had them, but I wasn't that.
So. Yeah, Jonah wore them every day.
Yeah, see? So, but my buddy Matt gave me an old pair of his that he was going to be getting rid of. So I keep him in my book bag. And once I got to school, I change. And then the whole thing.
So
that
smart.
Was kind of the thing. Now I'm feeling a little self-conscious. Did you guys never do that?
My friend Megan did it. Okay. My friend Megan used to do that. She would go to bar and bat mitzvahs and she would borrow this Gap skirt that I had that was like not that cool, but I think it was cooler than what her mom would let her wear. So she would change into my skirt at the bar bat mitzvah. So I guess what I'm saying is like, if anyone should be self-conscious, it should be me. Go ahead, Jonah.
Yeah. And just to point out, if for some reason people listen to this don't own this Taking Back Sunday shirt already, you should probably just buy it. But Adam is wearing shorts that are overalls with one strap undone and one strap going.
Yeah. Look at this again.
Yeah.
It's a pretty great.
Oh, like, and those shoes. Oh man. I thought those shoes were just the coolest. They were like Asics and high top with the short leg overalls with one thing undone. But the reason I said that thing about changing at school was that I remember as a kid, like anytime I would undo the one and toss it over my shoulder, because I'm a cool guy. So anybody wearing that would do it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Because my parents would be like, no, that's not how you wear it. And then I'd have to put it back. So then once they weren't looking, I would just do the same thing again. And that's what happened. And I bet in that photo, right before they went to take it, I was like, and then, so everyone would know how cool of a guy I was.
We were walking down the hallway, your backpack. Are you two straps or are you single strapping it?
Single strap. I'm like two strap now because it's just more efficient. One strap all the way. And then one day, like messenger bags were in, and then I'm like, all there is one strap. We've arrived.
I know.
So,
yeah.
I know.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Now, to take it back to mini golf, you were saying, and you called it putt-putt, and I've got a little bit of a fun thing to say about that, which is that there's a lot of names for it. It's also known as crazy golf.
It's crazy.
It's also known as goofy golf, shorties, extreme golf, adventure golf, mini putt, and putter golf. And the name putt-putt is actually the trademark of an American company that builds and franchises miniature golf courses in addition to other family-oriented entertainment, even though now it's used colloquially sometimes to refer to the game itself. Now, you said that you were playing it at a birthday party. I think that's how most people were introduced to it. I believe I was at a birthday party, right?
Yeah.
So you go to the birthday party, you start playing. This was the experience for me. You go there, you start playing mini golf, you're having a blast. you get to like about like the eighth thing and you're sort of bored and you're sort of like, can we skip to the last one? And then you're not allowed to because like someone's mom is like, no, we have to do the whole thing.
Finish you know? What
and
you're you like, started.
Oh, I wasn't saying it. She was.
Yeah.
And then you finally get to the last one and the last one is always like so impossible. It's like a face and you have to get it through like the nostril or something to get through the... Anyway... And then you're done, and maybe someone has kept track with those little pencils of who's won, who's not. But at the end of the day, you don't care because then you get to have ice cream. Is that kind of what you experienced, both of you?
Yeah, the specific place that photo was taken was a Putt-Putt Golf and Games, and it was on Main Street in High Point, North Carolina. And like I remember like it was this magical place, you know, because also like on Saturdays from like in the morning time, parents could drop their kids off there and for like $10 or something, you could play like unlimited games or unlimited mini golf, you know? And then, so that's magical to a kid that's that young to have an hour block of you play whatever you want. It's fun. And then, but the birthday experience was, yeah, very much like that. Like you play and get through, like I would always get really frustrated because I'm like, why am I not better at this? I want to be better. And then, but because you'd have to practice,
right.
So I remember feeling frustrated for not being better at it. And then but then at the end, I remember being disappointed because at the very last hole, even though it's so hard, the hole itself just goes into like a contraption that collects all the little golf balls.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause me and Vanessa used to do it growing up at this place, Derry Island. And I feel like there was like win a free game on the last whole thing, but no one could ever do it.
Yeah. And you're right. You would sometimes be like, well, I could try and play this last hole or I could just keep this ball forever.
Yeah.
But you would. Like, I remember that thought crossing my mind. But then, like, it felt weird to just be like, I'm going to skip this just like so I can take this golf ball home. But a lot of our listeners did not experience this.
Well, or
never had that.
Or there's one listener you have and they have a whole shelf in their house and it's only mini golf balls.
Room full of them.
Red ones, that they said, blue ones, purple ones, popcorn shrimp, bubblegum shrimp. The whole thing.
You know what this reminds me of, and this is kind of fashion related, like your overalls in this photo, Adam. Do you remember this era in the 90s, early 2000s, where it was really cool to wear bowling shoes?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember that.
Yeah. Ska was all the rage. I remember it like it was yesterday. Yeah.
They were like hard to find. Like, where did you get those? You can only get them at a bowling alley.
People would go to Pepper Lanes, which was the bowling alley near us that Jonah was. I feel like Jonah, when you were in middle school, you were on a league there.
I got some trophies. Not
oh man, did you have the thing, the glove?
I'd never had my own ball or glove, but I was in an after school group and we won one year. We were pretty good.
Nice.
I remember that you were good at that. But anyways, I feel like kids would wear them out of Pepper Lanes. Like they would rent their shoes and then just leave. And then Pepper Lanes started getting really strict about you have to like put down collateral or do like something so you bring the shoes back. Because I remember, because also bowling shoes, I don't even really understand why people wear them to bowl other than, I guess... I guess they're not slippery or something.
To protect the
lane.
Yeah.
But they seem like shoes that would protect the ground aren't necessarily like the greatest shoes to wear out into the world.
Sure.
You know, in terms of traction, especially in Ohio where like it was always icy for like half the year and snow.
It's fashion, you know.
But yeah, bowling shoes, I remember that was such a cool thing. And you're right. It would be so much more legit to get them from a bowling alley.
Yeah, because then you'd have like a... Or like you really earned them because you had to involve yourself in some underage criminal activity to get them.
Yes.
That's right.
It was like the era of that and like wearing a work shirt, a used work shirt with someone else's name on it.
Oh
it was like
God.
The kind of coolest thing you could wear.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. It was like if you could get someone's friends or dad's or if you found one in a thrift store, it was like you've absolutely made it. Now, do you know, bringing it back to mini golf, do people ever wear cleats to mini golf? That's what you wear to play regular golf, right? And I don't know about your dad, but because I know our dads are similar. Our dad wasn't really a golfer.
No, same.
No.
Yeah. So I don't know too much about
Footwear for golfing. Footwear, yeah. Adam, have you ever played like golf?
No.
Yeah. Gone on the whole thing.
No. Me neither.
Neither of you has ever played?
No.
No, strictly mini golf for me. Like, I never saw the appeal in it. And there was something about, like, I feel like whatever kind of childhood thing that I'm holding on to of like people that would give me a hard time and think, I associate them with golf. I don't know why, but just because I assume.
Yeah, because it feels kind of preppy and like, I can see it.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the reasons why. But there's like John and Andy are John from the band and Andy are tour manager. They like on days off, they'll go out. Like they have the costume and everything or the outfit. They don't like it when yes. I call it a costume.
Yeah.
They have the outfit and everything. And it's like, which it just kind of looks like business casual, but it's like everything looks slippery. It's like those clothes.
Yeah.
To me, it's like I guess because our dad didn't play it and we didn't belong to a country club, which I think it was because they were too expensive, although he might have used the excuse that he didn't play golf. But to me, it's such a mystery how someone learns how to play golf like that. Because it seems like it's like a real thing. You have to like know which golf club to use
yeah.
and you have to know which is for whatever. And then you have to have like a caddy and you have to like, it must be so expensive. You have to like tip the caddy.
You don't want to keep
and,
the people waiting behind you. You got to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then I'm going to hit the ball into this hole that's, you know, 100 feet away. It's like, well, where's the ice cream?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where's the little party center?
There's no cake or
you know.
And then even if you do eventually get the ball in the hole from that great of a distance, it's not like they're going to give you like a little bag with candy and some like a
yeah
treat in it.
And those little puzzles that have like a ball in them and you have to get
it that you shake. And
those little square puzzles.
Yeah.
It's like I'd be going, hey, gang, I think we went to the wrong golf thing.
Yeah.
Because it seems,
I'm with you.
I did a little mini golf research before we take our break. And in mini golf news.
Go on. Yeah.
Oh, this is big.
This is a term that I've never heard before that bothers me so much. It's hard for me to articulate. This headline is Tiger Woods' mini golf entertainment concept, Popstroke, breaks ground at Grandscape.
Wait.
So this is entertainment.
That's not a word, right?
I think it's a new word, okay. And I really hope it doesn't catch on. But it's this mini golf, quote, entertainment concept called Popstroke, created by Greg Bartoli. This is from Dallas Magazine. Tiger Woods' TGR Ventures and TaylorMade Golf Company is this 37-hole indoor-outdoor course, 13,000 square feet.
Whoa,
it's huge.
That's giant.
It's they have like a whole chain of these, and I think they have like food, like elevated food and all this stuff. And I got to say, Adam, this reminds me of like these fancy movie theaters you have now where it's like...
I was just going to say, our fancy movie theaters, are those also entertainment?
Yeah, I think that
are.
Would be considered entertainment.
Definitely.
And what it is to me is like, oh, do you want some candy or do you want like a $30 hamburger? You know, it's like, what's going on with this entertainment
trend? Wait a second, Jonah?
Yeah.
I think you wrote a joke in here in all caps, or at least you bolded it. And I think, okay, Jonah, I'm going to set you up because you wrote this in the biggest font that could fit on the page, I'd say. And all bold. Do you want to tell your joke about...
It says, do we need movie theaters and mini golf courses where you get a $25 hamburger? Why does everything need to be elevated these days? You know, it's really elevated, the prices. Adam, what are your thoughts on this entertainment trend before
Jonah,
we...
you kind of threw the joke away. You didn't really... Okay. But good job.
It like sounded like, Jonah, and it's coming from the heart.
Sure.
It like sounded like maybe you had some time to sit with the joke and you didn't feel as strongly about it now.
It's true. It's not my best material. It's not, and I feel like I already kind of used it a little, kind of used a hamburger reference already. So it felt,
right.
But the sentiment is still there.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my president. I mean, that's all I can think to say there.
It sounds like no one's that excited about this. We're certainly not, you know, booking our tickets to go visit this new entertainment spot.
If I'm going to Dallas, that's not where I would go first or second. Probably not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one more thing I want to say about mini golf is that the sport of miniature golf is governed internationally by the World Mini Golf Sport Federation, WMF, headquartered in Sweden. And the WMF is a member of the Global Association of International Sports Federations. So this is, you know, there's all these federations, there's championships that happen, there's competitions. There is the most prestigious MOS, which must be another organization. Mini golf competitions in the world are the US Masters, US Open, British Open, World Crazy Golf Championships, and the World Adventure Golf Masters. So these are all actual competitions of mini golf that happen every year, every other year.
Wow. I wonder if they make special courses, you know, like different obstacles, like wacky thing, or like that game Mousetrap, like maybe they make something like that. Like you got to hit the ball, which didn't catch a mouse, and then the thing and the thing and then the...
Oh, I was just going to say, are the outfits like the Kool-Aid commercial versions of the regular outfits? Like, are they like the outfits, but because it's mini golf, they have like all kinds of neon on them? Oh, anyway,
like,
go ahead. Sorry.
Like loud colors. Oh, yeah. There's so... Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? I forgot what I was going to say, because now I'm picturing mini golf outfits, but they're neon. Maybe they're made of like the like windbreaker material. Remember how cool those were? Well, are still, but like now they call them something different. Now there's like a whole new name for them.
Well, I was just thinking those were cool, those windbreaker outfits, and they've become sort of a thing that mostly middle-aged to senior-aged women wear. Like they used to be like everybody wore them and they were so cool. And I'm not saying that women, those older women aren't cool. I'm just saying sort of it's become only for that demographic.
Yeah, it's strange. I don't know why. Or like fishermen kind of wear stuff like that still. Like sport fishermen, not like real deal fishermen.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I just remember what I was going to say. Speaking of real deal fishermen, near where you guys grew up, like was your course like, did it have wacky obstacles like a dragon or something, or like a house that you got to hit the thing through?
Yeah, it had like a castle or something. Yeah. Or that kind of stuff. I think a pinwheel. Yeah.
So recently I went back, I like took the kids to Putt-Putt Golf and Games because my dad lives in Thomasville, North Carolina, which is right next to High Point. And we were going into town for some, the big old city. And then I'm like, oh my God, let's go to Putt-Putt. This is going to be amazing. So we go, first off, there used to be a roller rink across the street. It's a car dealership now. Boo.
Mm. Oh, it's sad.
Yeah, so many memories just there. And but the Putt-Putt, in my mind, it is this giant, expansive thing. And there's like fucking confetti and glitter shooting out of everything and rainbow over the whole time. But that's not the case. This is like, there's no shade, no cover whatsoever. And then there's no, like, there's a little variation, like in like the, like if they put like a speed bump in it, you know, but there's no like, little house or like you were saying, like a pinwheel, like there's just none of that. And I just thought it was so interesting to, in my mind, it's this huge, like Alice, you know, and then to go back like, Oh, it's kind of a bummer. It's kind of sad. But then that could also be, maybe I was just one of the lucky ones that got to be there in its heyday.
Right.
But I don't know.
I bet it's a little of both.
It's probably both. It can be tough. Yeah. Revisiting that stuff as adult, it does seem a lot smaller scale and less impressive sometimes.
Yes.
See,
yes.
Which
we were a lot smaller then.
Yeah, that's true. Like actually physically, that's very true. I was going to go on a long walk right then. And then I decided maybe I shouldn't do that to you guys. And I'm not going to now.
I was going to do the same thing and I decided not to.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Is that like a jinx situation? No.
No, I was just going to say what we will do is go to a commercial break unless anyone wants to take their long walk now. Last chance for a long walk.
Commercial it is. No.
We're going to the commercial. We'll be right back. Yes.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. Well, I guess, Adam, are you ready to play an absolutely fun game?
I am so ready. I've been waiting. Wait, the way you just said it, though, I can't tell if you mean that it's absolutely fun or if you're being sarcastic.
Oh, it's absolutely fun.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. You're going to be into it.
So this game is called Change.Dork.
Change.Dork.
Otherwise known as Let's Make Fun of People Who Don't Know How to Use Change.org. And in this game, we're going to bring up three different, somewhat nostalgic, somewhat silly petitions that people have put onto change.org. And we'll talk about each petition. And then at the end, we each have to say if we had to sign one of these petitions, which you don't have to, but if we had to, which one would you sign?
Okay.
Should I read this first one or Jonah, do you want to read it?
It's up to you. You found these ones. You can kick it off.
Okay. This one is called Wider and Shorter Plates of Nachos. And this person says, we need wider and shorter plates of nachos. No more tall towers and of chips and toppings. Spread the toppings across a large area and cover all of the chips, not just the top layer. Okay, so that's this person's petition. That's the entire petition.
There's actually a place in Charlotte that does that called Superica or Super Rica, but that's how they have their nacho. It's sick. It's actually, I think the first one was in Atlanta. Anyways, that's how they do their nachos. So if you're the one who found those, maybe you could go on change.org and then just like, is they're like, and like slide into their change DMs and then be like, hey, all you got to do is get yourself down to this little hot spot here.
Someone could write a comment to that. I mean, there's a place for comments that you can respond to these people. This person, he didn't make it to that place. He made it to Taco Bell, Del Taco, El Pollo Loco, on the board, like a bunch of places.
Oh,
and there's 43 signatures
and there's
on this
43
one. They're trying
signatures.
To get to 50. So Adam, it sounds like you support this idea.
Nachos are in my top 5 favorite foods.
Yeah.
So, well, wait. Do we only pick one that we would support?
We pick one. So you don't have to pick one yet.
You don't have to pick it, but you can give your thoughts on
it.
Give
your thoughts.
Where you're at with it. You know?
I think that's fantastic. Though, like the places that he's mentioning, though, like Taco Bell, Del Taco, like the El Pollo Loco, like all those places are like fast food places. And like the thing is, I think that they have the trays for those dialed in pretty good. And then with what he's suggesting, how's it even going to fit? Like, say you have like an old Datsun, you know, you're not going to fit that through the window.
Yeah.
Well, this, to your point, this one woman said, as long as they don't charge more, that is why they are in tower formation. Chips are cheaper than the toppings. So that's a smart comment of,
sure.
You know, I don't think that the chips are in tower formation by mistake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. And your eyes eat first. So you see this massive thing and you're like, this is going to be great. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with Adam on this. Like, I think this is a really good idea. You know, our local movie theater, what they do, you get the popcorn and they pour the butter in like half, they filled halfway, then put some butter in, then fill the rest, you know, and it's like, yeah, just do that with the nachos. Yeah. Exactly. Just put some toppings down, put some more chips. It's, you know, to me, it makes so much more sense because then you're not stuck
Jonah,
with the
soggy. Jonah, that's not exactly what this person's asking for.
I know, but it's the same kind of concept. Okay. Spreading it around, not just thrown on top. Yes. So I support that. It's the same kind of...
Yeah.
It's more of a... That's more of a physics thing. Vanessa, what about you?
I think this is smart, but I to this woman's point, you know, you're going to be paying more. Okay, so what's more important to you? Also, I'm going to say this, and this is highly controversial, and I know it. Sometimes when you're eating nachos, it's nice to have a couple of 2-3 chips that are plain to kind of, so it's not every bite. You know what I mean? It's like, it depends. Are you sharing the nachos? If you're sharing the nachos with a bunch of people, then it's absolutely stinks to get a plain chip. But if you're sharing them with one person or they're your personal nachos, I don't think it's the end of the world. So I'm kind of 50-50 on this. Because also, I don't want to be losing my weekly paycheck on nachos because they've got the you know, every nacho's covered in dip.
Surface area, right. Yeah.
Okay.
And then not to play devil's advocate, but it is nice to have like a few chips that are bare because then if there's anything left over... You're not just grabbing it with your hand like an animal.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got a thing.
Yeah.
You got a thing.
Yeah. That's a good point.
That's absolutely right.
All right. So our next petition is called Get Apple to Create a Cool Cat Emoji.
Mm-hmm. Like K-E-W-L?
Kind of. I mean, it's spelled C-O-O-L, but I think that's kind of the vibe.
Yes.
There's 11 signatures.
Like in the Paula Abdul video. Opposites
attract.
Yeah,
like MC Scat Cat.
Thank you.
I do want to say I found 15 petitions. This petition alludes to it, but I found 15 different petitions that want... There's a cat emoji and there's no cat that has sunglasses. And people are like, what the actual hell?
Yeah.
Why doesn't that exist? But go ahead.
So this person says, have you ever been texting and wanted a cool emoji to use? You didn't just want to use a boring normal emoji. You wanted to use a cat emoji. But when you're looking at the few cat emojis there are, you realize there's none to fit the context and situation of my conversation I'm having with my friend. That's why I believe Apple should have more cat emojis. This person's basically saying they need to add many more. They want a combination of the smirking cat emoji and the sunglasses from the sunglass emoji. This emoji could apply to so many situations. If you send a so basically they're saying this emoji would kind of represent the context in a lot of their conversations, how they feel. Adam, what do you think about the creation of a cool cat emoji? Was that something you think you would use or not really?
I make it a point to never use emojis.
Okay.
And then just because it's like I get overwhelmed when I have too many options.
I hear you.
I think this one's a hard sell. And the reason I think that is because the definition of cool is widely subjective. So like, what would a cool cat look like? Like, would it be a cat with sunglasses? Well, what kind of sunglass? Like, there's like so many.
Sure.
I mean, like, I think for them to even settle on something, I mean, we're talking, this could be years out. Even if you get more signatures than you need, once you start actually working on it, I mean, like, what's the timeline?
Sure.
I don't know. Or you could just, is there like an ice cube and a cat? Just boop, ice cat. Cool.
Sure.
Cold.
Okay.
Smart.
Yeah, I hear you.
Vanessa, what do you think?
Don't take this the wrong way, Adam.
Uh-oh.
But if I think what they're saying is they want the cat emoji, which is already kind of a cool looking cat.
Okay.
With sunglasses. Okay. If you were to send, I know you don't use emojis, but if you were to send an emoji,
yeah,
and you were kind of representing yourself,
mm-hmm.
if you had to choose between the smiley face that's just a circle wearing sunglasses
mm-hmm.
and the cat wearing sunglasses and smiling, I think the cat wearing sunglasses and smiling, because you've got cool blonde hair, you've got long blonde hair, you're wearing sunglasses right now. I think the cat more accurately represents you. And I'm saying that as a compliment than that just that circle, you know, generic smiley face. And so I think, like, let's say you were sending a text and you were like, see you at dinner. Like, I hope they have good nachos there. And then you were like, oh, do I send this circle smiley, just this generic smiley face with sunglasses, or I send this cool cat emoji? I think the cool cat actually would more be getting across how you're feeling. So for those reasons, and
shit, you're
yeah.
right.
Have you seen what it looks like? A cool. It looks.
There's a mock-up. I don't. Adam's on his phone, so I don't know if he'll be able to see it.
Is it cool?
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Okay.
It looks cool.
Well, wait, but aren't there, or like, I guess, you know what? Somebody wants a cool cat emoji, they should have their cool cat emoji. Why not?
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to change your mind. I'm just saying, from my perspective, that's more what you look like to me than just the generic smiley face with sunglasses.
So you think I'm closer to a cool cat than just some yellow, round,
yes,
everyday, are those even Ray-Bans kind
yes.
of thing?
Yeah.
Look.
Wow.
That kind of looks like the Grinch.
It does kind of look
well,
like the Grinch.
I don't think this is a mock-up, wants it to be I making think. A yeah. smirk. There's other ones oh. where it's not making a smirk. I think that would more be you. But
yeah. yeah. So I think this is like a bit of a generational thing.
Okay.
Because I feel similar to Adam. I'm not a huge emoji person, and I'm not generally sitting around being like, where is the emoji that can convey my inner mood?
Right.
But I do think if you were, and that's, I'm not trying to be in sound condescending. I think if you're younger and you grew up with emojis and using them, you might have a different relationship with them when it comes yeah. to language, and you might want a wider palette. And, you know,
right.
what we're paying for these phones and these operating systems, yeah, they should okay. have a cat with sunglasses. Why not? Take them. Right. Adam, I think you're a little confused because you're used to making records where you got to record it, master it, lead time, it's going to press.
Well, months.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, and it has to go through the other guys. Do they think right. it's cool? I don't yeah. know. Like, we yeah. have to. Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, then we got to master it. What was that even? So it's like with this cat emoji, I don't think we yeah. take that long to slap some sunglasses on a cat, put it in the next software update. I think they could do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
So back up though. So would the sunglasses just be put on the existing cat emoji?
Most yes. people are asking for the sunglasses to just be put on the existing cat emoji, thus creating a cool cat.
Oh, you know, when you put it like that, it's like, well, yeah, why not?
Why not? It's an absolute why not. And also that there's nine yeah. cat emojis and no one thought to put sunglasses on it. I'm like, well, then what?
What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? Okay. Time for all the right. last petition, which is, change the back of Cap'n Crunch cereal boxes. So this person, he made this petition out to the Quaker Oats Company and PepsiCo and someone else. And it's gotten 78 supporters. And this person says, for too long has our morning cereal been accompanied by Cap'n Crunch's embarrassing old box design. The back of the cereal box is very important for kids and childlike adults as it offers an escape from their mundane and often stressful lives. The activities, puzzles, and mazes offer relief for people of all ages. Parents get a few minutes of peace while their children are busy trying to guide the cereal mascot through the maze to get to the cereal bowl. Children feel like they've accomplished something when they find all of the cereal-related words in the word search puzzle. Even teenagers and young adults are brought back to their glory days while trying to not get a cat's game playing tic-tac-toe. Okay, so basically this person is saying the Cap'n Crunch box has gone unchanged since 2004, with an exception for a small period of time when they did a cutout mustache promotion. So this means, you know, however many years of the same box, and that he's saying we deserve a change. You know, older fans of the cereal deserve to have a new game. Younger fans deserve to know what it's like to get a new box of cereal with a new design and the excitement that comes along with it, his words. And we all deserve to be able to solve new puzzles instead of just the same old thing every single morning. So,
Adam, what do you think?
What do you think?
I don't want to tell anybody what to do.
Sure.
Okay, that's not my... But how long did you say since it's been changed? Like what year was it?
Since 2004.
Yeah, so if... And this person who wrote the petition knows that.
Yeah. They know that. Now, they wrote this petition... I'm just seeing this now. They wrote this petition about 6 years ago. So it's possible it's been changed since then. But at that point, it had been quite... like 15 years or something.
Yeah. I think if there's some... See, because that could only imply that either they've been a fan of the cereal and like buying it regularly for all those years, or they were wildly curious about it, so they'd check every time they went to the store.
Yeah.
Either way, there's like a lot of dedication there. And I think anything with that amount of dedication deserves some kind of reward. So, I mean, how hard could that be? Same thing with the emoji thing. I mean, I don't know what happens in like the cereal factories, but I would imagine it's just a quick like beep boop and then.
Yeah.
Also though, private company though, right? I mean, like you can't really go around telling people what to do.
Yeah, but
I mean, I don't know.
They got 78 signatures on this. I think if they get the numbers up, maybe they care about the profits, the bottom line, they might be able to sell some more cereal. I mean, I think it's a fair point. I don't remember the cereal box being that entertaining to me. This person acts, I think this was their kind of main form of entertainment, you know? And so they feel very connected to this. To me, it was cool. If it was in front of me, I'd look at it, but I wasn't, you know, I was more into, I guess, like playing outside, TV, maybe playing some Nintendo. I don't know. So to me, it didn't have that much of an impact on me, but I do agree to your point. Yeah, change it up. It's probably not that difficult to do. Vanessa, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, easier said than done, right? Because I can't think of the term, but what's the term for like corporate red tape?
Bureaucracy.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of bureaucracy. With once you want to change the back of the cereal box. But I think that I understand, because I have instincts like this sometimes of like every time you go to the grocery store, kind of to what you were saying, Adam, like every time you go, just like checking the back of the box being like, oh, they have to have changed it by now. And then checking in being like, jeez, like, you know what I mean? Like they're not changing it. Cause I will say this, when you're a kid, you look at the back of that cereal box, like not even when you're intended to, like sometimes you are just so bored. You're stuck at the table. You don't have anything else to do.
Yeah,
I remember standing by the cabinet and just like reading the back of the cereal box. Cause I didn't have anything else to do. Like, those can be a real source of
entertainment
for a lot of kids. So,
cereal
boxes can also be entertainment. But I think like this person has a point, and it does feel like it's a little sad that they've given up, like to not change it for 14 years. It feels you know, what's the point of even having?
Yeah. You know, Vanessa, I'm going to join you. I think you're right. I think they should change it. I do have fond memories of looking at it. And if it means that much to this person, Adam, did your kid ever look at a cereal box, or you ever read one sitting around, or you have any kind of, as an adult?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, there's been times to where like these moments of like, you know, like just like those heartwarming moments to where like you walk by and you catch them doing something that's just so cute. And then for me and this, in this very specific circumstance, there's like, I walk by like the kitchen island, whatever, and sitting there, like he has like the spoon in one hand and the box in the other, you know, as he's reading the box.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it like made me think like, oh my God, that's just like what I did. Oh my God. You know, whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's, do it for the kids. Do it for the children.
Do it for the kids. Cause the other thing is like, as you were saying that, I was remembering, like when you're a kid, it's okay to sort of look at the same thing a bunch of times because you see it differently, whatever. But 14 years, it's like in a year, your kid would love to see a different back of, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And also if this family, if you want families to be loyal to your cereal, you know, if it's got the same box, I'm going, maybe I'll skip the Cap'n Crunch today and go for the, you know, Lucky Charms, because honestly, they're better anyway. Not to burn chemicals.
There, well, the Lucky Charms won't like cut your mouth. They aren't violent like wrapped in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That can
Cap'n,
be tough.
Cap'n. Cap'n. Sorry, Cap'n. Yeah.
So we now each have to pick one that we would sign if we had to sign one. Just as a reminder, the first one is wider and shorter plates of nachos. The second one is get Apple to create a cool cat emoji. And the third one is change the back of Captain Crunch cereal boxes.
Just before we go any further, I just want to say that this game has made me think like, oh my God, at like late at night, I can't sleep. You know what I need to do? I need to go on change.org.
Yes.
Find stuff like this and help.
Help.
Some people out.
Yes.
And just help. Sorry. So what are you guys' thoughts? Jonah, what do you think?
I'm going with the first one, the nachos. I mean, to me, this is the one I'm the most passionate about. It seems like, you know, well argued, makes sense. This is something I would definitely participate in. So I think spread the toppings around. That's what I'm signing. Vanessa, what about you?
Actually, the only one I would not sign is the nachos. And the reason I say that is because it seems like it's the hardest one to implement because so many places, what are you going to make it when someone's making nachos in their house? You're going to go, oh, there's a petition. You have to, it passed. So you have to, you know, use more sauce or whatever. So that one's out for me. I do like the cool cat emoji because I think it's insane that it doesn't exist already. But based on the conversation we just had and you know, the impact that this could have on kids and according to this person, young adults and older adults, and you know, in general, my vote is change the back of Cap'n Crunch cereal boxes. Cause I think it's sort of, I really feel for this person. I understand what they're saying. Now, Adam, what would you vote for?
I mean, if I were to follow like my heart.
Yes. And don't let what I said before, don't let me sway you.
What you said before about the cereal or what you said about the,
what I said before about how the nachos one actually makes no sense in practice.
Yeah. Cause that, yeah.
Oh. I wish we could do all three because I don't think any of them are too tall in order. But I would think that the most efficient change, like the quickest change that we could see would probably be with the cat emoji.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm not really an emoji kind of guy, but it seems to me like that would be just somebody like clickety clack 10111110 and then there it is, you know, like it fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's, you know, in this day and age, how we want everything now. I mean, I think that one might please more of the people quicker. And then you can get to work on the other two in the meantime.
That's
but
right.
People want results first.
Yeah.
Sure. Instant gratification. Really good point. So yeah, that's great. Well, thank you, Adam, so much for coming on the show. What would you like to promote? Where can people find out more about you, more about Taking Back Sunday? Looks like you're going to Australia in December. You got a new record. What's going on?
We are. Well, so you can check us out at takingbacksunday.com. And then also, like, we're on all of the socials, not just Twitter, not just Instagram. Oh, no, all of them. And then, we have the new record out, which we love very much. And then,
And what's the name of the record again?
152 or 152.
Got it.
To tell you the truth, I wanted to name it Lightbringer, but I got vetoed. And 152 was the next idea that was also good.
Great. Great.
And 152, that's the exit on Tell All Your Friends? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. So like that number has been on every record cover because that's kind of like, it's just like an inside nod to our people, but we've never actually named a record that. So that's where that.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not a math it's album.
No. It's also not a riddle album.
Okay.
And there's, you must answer to pass the bridge.
Yeah.
There's
right.
No. Well, like, see, that's the thing too. Cause I've always said 152, but it's really 152.
Okay.
Which doesn't quite have the same ring to it. It's this exit on, there's this piece of highway in North Carolina where Interstate 40 and 85, they become one thing and it'll take you from like Greensboro up until it like splits at Raleigh-Durham. And right before Raleigh-Durham is Chapel Hill. And that's where we used to have to go to see, because that's where all the shows would go through.
Got it.
And that was like an hour and a half, 2 hour drive. So exit 152 is kind of like the halfway mark where we would meet and that whole thing.
Great. Great.
That was really fun. Thanks so much to Adam for joining us and everyone for listening. And be sure to pick up Taking Back Sunday's upcoming album 152, which comes out on October 27th. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones like mini golf.
emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.